Okay, good. I'm going to give you a message tonight that I think will help you in your own Bible study a lot if you are a studier. I'm going to be in Psalm 51. And Psalm 51, it's going to be, I have a lot of verses. When I say I have a lot of verses, that means there's a lot of verses. I have so many verses. And the way I came to this message was a little backwards. But I think you'll learn something tonight. I think what you'll learn will be something that you can probably get a lot more from in your own personal study after I teach you the truth. Then you can do a lot of studying on this, because I'm not scratching the surface on it. Psalm 51 is the famous Psalm of David repenting and after his sin, and that's Psalm 51. I'm going to talk tonight about iniquity, what it is and what it does. Psalm 51. This message came about because I had a phrase and a thought in a verse about iniquity and about what iniquity does, which we'll get to later. And it was just that verse. That verse kind of captivated me, and I thought, you know what? I just want to get that thought out about iniquity. And then I thought, well, let me look up the word iniquity just to look at it. And it kind of surprised me, the definition of the word iniquity. And then I started looking up some verses on iniquity, and I got more surprised, and I really learned something from this. It's pretty interesting. Psalm 51, iniquity, what it is and what it does. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And notice verse 2, notice the wording, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse you from my sin. It's not the same thing. Most everybody thinks iniquity and sin is the same thing, okay? He's asking for two things here. I'll show you that in a lot more verses, but wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse you from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We're not dealing with transgression tonight. We're dealing with sin and iniquity. And so you don't need to ask me about transgressions. It's a different lesson, different message. You can look it up on your own if you want. But I want to talk about iniquity and what it is. Let's pray. And Father, with all these scriptures and all the truth we have tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd give us understanding, and that you would lead and guide us into all truth on this subject. May it not only be a truth learned, but powerfully anointed by the Spirit to change lives. And we ask this because it's your will that we learn your word and our lives are changed. And so we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice verse 2. Notice you separate sin and iniquity. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Now, all over the Bible, I think it's 90 times, iniquity and sin are mentioned in the same verses, but are separated. It's very, very, very common in the Bible, and what God does with these things. And so, let me take you to, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'll show you a few examples. We'll show you a lot more a little bit later. And then I want to just talk to you about the words and what the meaning of the words is, iniquity and sin. Romans 4, verse 6. It says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So there's two blessings there. Iniquities are forgiven and sins are covered. And we see that and we see what God says there. Let's go to Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. We'll go to Lamentations a few times. It's not surprising the books. So it's Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. It's after Jeremiah. The couple books that have a lot about iniquity are the books that you would expect to have that. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 6. It says this, "For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. That was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her." So there's a sin of God's people. There's iniquity of God's people and a sin of Sodom. And one is greater than the other. Now, there's a lot of different verses we'll read, and I want you to think while reading the verses, why did it separate these two words? First of all, the words iniquity in the Hebrew is the word avon, or avoni. And that means perversity. Now, in the New Testament, when we read the verses in the New Testament, it's basically the word anomia, and that means illegality, a violation of the law. Okay? Now, let me contrast that with the word sin in the Bible. The word sin in the Bible is a very bland word, okay? In the Old Testament, kathot, which means offense, that's all it means. And in the Greek, hamartia, which means to miss the mark. That's what the words mean. So, one is just, it's an offense, you did something wrong. One is a perversion that's illegal. That's a violation that's much more serious. If you look at the word iniquity, it's not equal. It's something that has an unequality to it. It's not equal. It's something, sin you could do wrong and it's sin, okay? But iniquity is something that's not equal. It's out of bounds. It's not fitting. It's not appropriate. So sin is, let's say you don't pray without ceasing. That's a sin because the Bible commands you pray without ceasing. But there's nothing twisted and out of bounds, nothing that's a weird violation about that. It's a sin. And I don't want to say just a sin, making that sin's not a big deal. It is a sin, but it is wrong and it's bad. Where iniquity is doing something that is twisted, unequal, or out of line. Okay, something twisted or unequal or perverted is something that's out of line. It's something that's not equal. It has an inequality to it. It is not appropriate. So a sin, let's illustrate it this way. So here's a guy, and he's at home, and he is trying to fix something, and he can't find the tool he needs. And man, we're not very patient at that point, are we? We can't find, we know it's supposed to be there and it's not there. And so let's say we lose it and we curse. God forbid, that's a sin, it's wrong. And it's corrupt communication, you shouldn't do that. Okay, that's sin. You shouldn't have done that, okay? Iniquity is when the same person, because he's angry, all of a sudden he gets abusive with his family and is nasty to his family. His family had nothing to do with it, and he's mean, and maybe even get abusive, maybe get physical, and everybody says, "Well, calm down. This is not right." Well, one of the phrases we use in our modern vernacular, it actually is a really good phrase for iniquity, is when we say, "That's just wrong." Okay, that would be iniquity. That's way out of there. That's unequal. That's you're all out of sorts here, and you've done something that's not equal, and you've done something that's not part of the deal. And then because you have a bad day, and now your people are totally innocent, you're being nasty to them. Now you're not just doing a sin, you're doing iniquity. You're doing something wrong. You're doing something that's like, wait, this has nothing to do with this. This is way out of line. Have you ever got mad at something and you got so mad that you went way overboard? You started breaking things or throwing things or whatever. You ever do that? No? Okay. I have before when I got really, really mad. Like I'm trying to fix something and finally I just get so mad I break it to 100 pieces. You ever do that? Men say yes, women say, I know my husband does it too. And so you just destroyed all that thing. It can never be fixed. Because you ever thrown anything when you got mad? And you say, why did I throw that? Because it was an iniquity. It was just way out of line. It was something just twisted and wrong and way it's illegal. It's just that's not, hey, you shouldn't listen. I just brought this up. You're freaking out. That's iniquity. You know what I'm talking about there? You follow what I'm saying? Iniquity is not just a sin. It is something that gets wrong. It goes out of there. It is a kid going to a school and shooting people up because his girlfriend broke up with him. Okay? All iniquity is sin, but not all sin is iniquity. And by the way, when a society becomes full of iniquity, you all of a sudden see radical reactions. You see people who don't think straight and they have all these unequal things they do. Kill a baby, save a tree. Okay, it's all wrong. They can cuss and say everything bad about everything and cuss and say all these rotten, filthy things, and you in the conversation say the name Jesus, like, what are you doing? That's not right. Relax. Why? They don't even know they're full of iniquity, and they don't see, why are you so radical at me saying, God bless you? Because it's iniquity in our society. It's full of iniquity. It's full of way out of balance things. Now, let's go back to Psalm 51. So we have David here, and David's praying, and he keeps three different times he talks about iniquity and sin. Psalm 51 and verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from mine sins. Verse 9, it says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Now let's think for a sec. We know David's life. We know what he's repenting about. What do you think David's sin was? Yes, Mark. Adultery. Adultery is a sin. It's wrong. It's terrible. It's wicked. He did commit adultery to destroy his own soul. But wait a minute. Sin sometimes leads to iniquity. What was David's iniquity? Pretty soon he says, hey, take that valiant guy, put him in the front line, and then when everybody's right in the middle of a fight, everybody fall back from him and let him get killed. Does that sound rational? That was iniquity. And iniquity is a terrible thing. The prophets talked over and over. Jeremiah and Isaiah have a lot about iniquity. Why? Because there was this inequality in the nation. They got so wicked, they were ripping off widows. And they didn't care. And they were saying we're godly, we're spiritual. And they were just full of, the nation was so full of iniquity, they didn't know right from wrong. That even the priests and the prophets were calling right wrong. The whole nation was a nation full. And by the way, America's becoming full of iniquity. And we don't know. We don't think. We don't see that there's this out of bounds thing. There's this illegality. You're way out. You've perverted this whole thing. You've taken it way too far. You're gone. Revenge might be somebody steals your bike, and so you go back and you steal their bike. That's sin. Okay? Iniquity is you beat him to the side of death or kill him. That's iniquity. Because it's like, whoa, that isn't right. That's not right. Whoa. And you've gone beyond what is sin. One of the books in the Bible that has the most about iniquity is the book of Job. Now, why do you think the book of Job would have iniquity 30 times? Do you have any ideas? Mark? Yeah, they're all trying to figure out why this is unequal. What did Job do to deserve this? Job is suffering like no man's ever suffered. And is there iniquity in Job? Job must have iniquity because this is unjust. And Job says, I don't have iniquity for this. And I've not done anything wrong. They said, no, this, you, and later on I find out that iniquities, unequal things, God makes you, God equals it out. Okay? And so, because it's an inequality. We see this in a lot of times in the Bible. It's a lot of times. Now we're going to read a whole bunch of verses that have both iniquity and sin in them, and you can kind of see, well, that's why that's what God's saying about iniquity. That's what he's saying there. Let's see. Let's go to Exodus 34. We'll start kind of from the start and go forward. But we're going to be all over, really. Exodus 34. You can turn to all these. You can write down the references. Because of how many verses I have, you'll have to be a little bit speedy here. Exodus 34 and verse 7 says this, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, and unto the third and fourth generation. Now, again, there's 10 messages here. It does not say sin gets visited from generation to generation. It says iniquity does. Okay? Because iniquity is an inequality. And God is just. And so iniquity, so you might struggle three generations later because your grandpa ripped somebody off in such an obscene way that he's going to visit it. Now, you and I have been trained to be so self-centered about me, but if you're thinking right, you'd say, no, I don't want things to be passed on to my kids. And iniquity, the judgment of it, my iniquity, to be passed on to my kids. I don't want that. But he visits iniquity because it's inequality. It's wrong. And so it gets passed down. Now, thank God we can break curses and have all those things. And we should be curse breakers. But iniquity visits because you did something that was out of bounds. You are out of bounds. You're way out. And people are saying, whoa. What are you doing? You might have iniquity, not just sin. And you might just have that. And so we see that. Let's go to Genesis. Where's my verse on Genesis? I got one in Genesis that I liked a lot. Let me see where I got it written down. I have so many notes here. I'm going to run across it later. Genesis 15. Watch this. Verse 16. But the fourth generation, they shall not come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. See that? Things are still not equal yet. Let me take it to Daniel. I'm getting way out of order, and I better keep careful here. I'm going to lose myself. I've got a lot of notes. Daniel, and Daniel chapter 9. He says, their iniquity is not yet full. The inequality is still not fixed. It's been, they were so out of bounds when it was done that we got to settle this still. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 5. It says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Now, go over to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish a transgression. Transgression is rebellion, if you're wondering. And to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal the vision of the prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Now, God's very creative. We don't know all the ways he fixes iniquities. You might have someone at work. Your boss may be treating you terribly. Or you might have some relatives who are bringing it on you because you have an iniquity at home. Because you're out of bounds. Okay? That's iniquity. And so he's got to restitute the iniquity. Sin doesn't always get restitution. Iniquity, he always keeps talking about the restitution of it, that it needs to get done. And so we see that. let's go to Leviticus. Is this as interesting to you as it was to me? a very important subject. I hope it is, because it, well, either way, I liked it, and I'm excited about it. And it's taught me, it's been a tweak to my thinking, and something I've never learned before. And let's see, what do we say? Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 17. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. I like iniquities are trouble, aren't they? Amen. And do you understand the difference between a sin and iniquity? I'm not saying sin's not going to get punished. I'm not saying sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. I'm just saying, if God's telling you, you're committing iniquity here, you better repent. Because iniquity does some things. Let's go to Jeremiah. Got a lot of verses in Jeremiah. Jeremiah's full of iniquity. Also, Jeremiah, the prophet, probably talks about iniquity in Jeremiah and Leviticus more than anybody in the Bible. Jeremiah, let's look at chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's look at verse 23. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity. It's not right. They're trying to kill me for nothing. Neither blot out their sin from thy sight. See, both of them are in the same verse. Two different things. And let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. And so we see both of them. Chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Let's do 30. Chapter 30. And verse 14, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of the enemy, with the chastisement of the cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things. Sin, eventually, when you're out of control, leads to iniquity, and they're close. Iniquity is sin. Chapter 31 and verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and let every man's brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least unto the greatest of them. Say the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sins no more. We'll get that a little bit later. I think it's one of my verses for a bit later. Let's see, Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 24. Neither say there in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain in this season. He reserveth unto us appointed weeks. I got the wrong verse. Verse 25 of harvest. For your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. We read it there in Leviticus. Let's go to Psalms. Let's read one verse out of Psalms. We'll get to some more. Let's read Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou that forgavest iniquity of my sin. Selah. Okay. Now, let me get back to what the sermon started as. The sermon started as what iniquity does. The sermon started as what sin does. But I used the word iniquity. I looked up the word iniquity. I want to talk to you just for a minute about what iniquity does to us. And we already talked about that it brings God's judgment to bring inequality back to it. And by the way, you ever know somebody who's, as the Bible phrases it, they are full of iniquity. Somebody who let sin lead to a consuming thing, and now they're just out of there. They are so angry. They are so messed up. They are so trying to justify what they do. They are that they don't even think straight, and they're just, you can hardly talk to them because they're just, why? They're full of iniquity. And forget trying to fix them right now. They've got to be humble before God, but they're just so, you know what? There's nothing wrong with this. And then they go overboard with this. Because iniquity takes you overboard. Okay? You'll see a kid in who might be from a decent home, and all of a sudden he gets full of iniquity, and he will go do the worst, terrible. He'll go so far into sin. Why? He's full of iniquity. He's full of iniquity, and iniquity just is so out of balance. You're just crazy. And you see that. What does iniquity do? Four things I want to give you that iniquity does. First of all, it makes us weak. Iniquity makes us weak. Psalm 31 and verse 10. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. A person who's full of iniquity just eventually gets to be drained. And they're just angry at the exhaustion of their life. And it wears you out. It makes you weak. And it does that to you. Next, it brings curses. We read that. Exodus 20, verse 5. We read another verse, Exodus 34. He visits the iniquity on the third and fourth generation. Now, here's our verse we started with. Let's go to Matthew 24. Soon we're going to be teaching through Matthew 24 and on prophecy and stuff. But I just got interested in this phrase. I was reading it through a few times this week. Matthew 24. Iniquity makes you cold. It removes love. Matthew 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That was your sermon that would have been very short. But you didn't get the sermon that was short. You missed out. And so I thought, you know what? It's interesting. Your love becomes cold when you have iniquity. I thought, yeah, sin makes you be cold in your love. But then I realized, no, iniquity. Because at this time in the future, society will be full of iniquity and a nation becomes full of iniquity. And all of a sudden, it is people's love becomes cold. A person who used to be tenderhearted, a person who used to be full of compassion and love, is now very cold and hard. Why? Because they have iniquity in them. And they've committed iniquity. Iniquity, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. As our society gets more full of iniquity, be ready for more terrible things where you say, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody do that to a baby? Why would somebody do that to a child? Why would somebody do that to school? Why would somebody hurt? Why do they do that? Why? Because the love of many waxes cold when you get iniquity. Iniquity makes, once you're full of iniquity, you don't understand justice, you don't understand right, you don't understand wrong, everything's out of kilter, you get freaked out about little things and big things don't bother them at all. You're all backward. And pretty soon you protect criminals and want to prosecute the police, and pretty soon you're not concerned about how much you hurt somebody else. You ever talk to someone who you just think, how can you be so vicious? And you might have been there. How can you be so vicious? They want to wound people. Why? They don't even understand how out of balance they are. They don't understand how when they said that or they did this action, it was so harmful. And to them, it's why? Full of iniquity. It makes you cold. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It makes you cold. Next, it separates you from God. Let me take you to Isaiah. Isaiah 59. It separates you from God. Isaiah 59. And verse 2. By the way, I'm mostly focusing on the verses that talk about iniquity and sin. There are way, way, way more verses that talk about iniquity specifically, and you can do a study on that. And when you read your Bible now, when it says iniquity, you'll understand in the way God is upset. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, those both are true. God hides his face and separates. But specifically, it says iniquities have separated you from God. And that's what it does. It's often out of balance. How about maybe Cain was full of iniquity? You killed your brother because he had a good offering? That's not sin. That's iniquity. Yeah, it's sin to murder. But it was just like, what are you doing? You're full of iniquity. Cain, something's wrong with you. So you've let iniquity in. And by the way, iniquity can come innocently. It starts off with just sin. But pretty soon, you let sin become iniquity. And you are... And a person with iniquity, it is so stupid the amount of suffering they will do to hurt somebody. Did you know people in gangs go to prison for life so they can get revenge on somebody else who hurt one of their friends? There are so many dumb things that iniquity does. There is somebody who will be bitter and will ruin their whole life and go from having everything good into utter poverty and misery because they're so full of iniquity that they just live their life. Instead of moving forward, they live in bitterness and they're cold and they're hard and nobody wants to be around them and nobody likes them. And they think, well, you know what? It's right. And if they really stopped and thought, you know, it was this is the offense and this is what I'm doing 20 years later. What's wrong with me? You're full of iniquity. When you're full of iniquity, you start looking with suspicion on people. You look at, ready? Saul's sin, jealousy. Jealousy's not a sin, but he became obsessed with jealousy. And what happened? Saul got full of iniquity. What was he doing pretty soon? Spending his whole life trying to murder David. What did David do? Really nothing. At the worst case in Saul's mind, you ready? The worst case in Saul's mind, because he wasn't thinking clearly because he's so full of iniquity, they sung a song about David. And they said, David, his son, is tens of thousands and Saul's sin is thousands. And that made him eye David from that day forward. And next thing you know, he's standing there with the javelin. Why? He was full of iniquity. Nothing David did was lined up with what Saul felt toward him. And then he imagined him. And by the way, just accept, if you know someone full of iniquity, they're going to imagine things about you and you're going to think they're loony. And don't try to logic with them. They're full of iniquity. Okay? They've got to come to God and do that. Because iniquity separates you from God. And that's what it does. Now, let's finish off some verses. Let's read a few more verses on the both of them together. Let's look at Psalm 103. A few more verses where both of them is mentioned. Verse 10. Here's the good news. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. There's both of them. Again, these just verses with both of them. Let's see. Do we do Psalm chapter 90? I don't remember if we did it because I got out of order. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. Let's do, let's see. We did some out of Lamentations 4. Let's do another verse out of Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Maybe it kept there. I'm not doing all my verses here because I have too many, but Lamentations in chapter 4 and verse 13. The sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. And you could do a study on the prophets, what they did, and the priests, what they did, and how in Jeremiah they were condemned for their sins and stuff like that. And let's do, go ahead and go to Revelation. I'm going to read one more in Leviticus, I don't believe I read, and then I'll meet you in Revelation. Leviticus chapter 16. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 18, and I'm going to read Leviticus 16:21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and he shall send them away to fit the man in the wilderness. And so, Revelation 18, many verses here, and gotta have both hands. Revelation chapter 18. Well, there's a lot of iniquity that the Antichrist and his kingdom will do. We could read in Thessalonians where it talks about that the man of iniquity, the Antichrist, and the iniquity that he does, that he talks about specifically, it's full of iniquity, and he refers to iniquity with the end times. Don't take the mark, get your head cut off, and all the stuff like that. And so, Revelation chapter 18, and we'll look at verse 15. The merchants of these things, that's not the verse I want. I'm in the wrong verse. There we go. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So, all that to say this. Don't get full of iniquity. Don't freak out. Sin's bad enough, but iniquity makes God have to punish it. Now there's good news. Let me give you the great news. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. The good news is we just read about the sacrifice for the iniquity and the sin and the transgression and the scapegoat, for example. And God, we just read in Psalm 103 where God can forgive and overlook and cleanse us from our iniquity and our sin. Isaiah 53. The great prophetic chapter about Jesus. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isn't that good news? Our iniquities, Jesus bore them. Thank God we have a merciful God. I'm going to take you to Hebrews and finish up there. Hebrews, again, we're all over the Bible here, but there's a lot of verses about these things. And Hebrews chapter 8. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity can ruin a good person. It's a freak out. It's overreaction. It's doing something that doesn't fit. It is a parent when they look at a parent is not a perfect parent, but when they abuse their child because they lose it, when they scream at the top of their lungs and the kid really didn't do much, they're full of iniquity. That iniquity is making you way overreact to those kids. A teacher, an abusive person, there's all kinds of people who can do that. We can all have iniquity. And we've got to learn that iniquity is wrong. By the way, many of you came out of abusive homes because it was full of iniquity, wasn't it? And so things were like out of line. And it was so full of sin that it got into iniquity, and everyone is, in a weird sort of way, just acted crazy. And you would say, they're just stupid. You're not talking about their intelligence. You're talking about their overreaction, their weirdness about it. Why? Because when there's a whole bunch of sin, it ends up being iniquity mixed in with it. Just like when there's, you know, a whole bunch of anger, the sin leads to iniquity, and then you start freaking out at people who didn't do anything. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews chapter 10. That's a good verse, isn't it? Thank the Lord. See, God's salvation and God's mercy and his forgiveness, Jesus bore our iniquities. He not only forgives our sins now, but he can also cleanse us from all iniquities. That's what David prayed for. Lord, I sinned, and it's wrong. I committed adultery, but I also did an iniquity. I had Uriah killed. It was so crazy. It just went more and more and more and more. Lord, cleanse me from my sin and forgive all my iniquity. I realize I've committed iniquity. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, very similar verse. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know, the good news is you got a merciful God who can forgive sin and transgression and iniquity. Amen? Amen. See, iniquity is terrible, but you have a God whose salvation and whose blood cleanses us from all iniquity. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. OK, okay? Cleansed of all unrighteousness. But God says, I can cleanse you from all iniquity. I can cleanse you from all sin. I can cleanse you from all transgression. I can cleanse you from all iniquity. All these things, God says, my blood covers it all. You know what you should do is just say, Lord, be merciful to me. I've sinned. And if you've committed iniquity, say, Lord, please cover up my iniquity. Cleanse me from mine iniquity, as David did. Wash me thoroughly from my sins and cleanse me from mine iniquity, he says in Psalms 51. Because iniquity is pretty bad. Do you know when you committed iniquity? You know what I'm talking about? You know when you commit iniquity? Okay, I just want you to understand, they're different. Sin's bad, but iniquity has a lot of danger to it. It can make you into a cold, hard person when you weren't before. They can ruin somebody. And so it changes us. It separates us from God. It does all these things. So I'm saying tonight, if you have iniquity, sin's bad enough. But if you have iniquity, come to God, because iniquity will make you cold. And if you get far enough into it, you'll be too cold to repent. You don't want to get there because iniquity's bad. But God's good and his mercy endures forever. And he can forgive us from all sin and all iniquity. Just be careful, because you may get ruined in iniquity and get in trouble in iniquity. David, adultery is bad enough, but buddy, you're going to really have that virtuous man murdered in the middle of a battle and everybody pull back? What are you doing? Listen, just deal with it, man. Don't murder an innocent man and have everybody pull back in the middle of battle in the hottest part of it. Don't put that man there in the middle of battle. What are you doing? Saul, what are you doing? His son came and said, Dad, what are you doing? David's not done anything to you. You're not going to kill him. But Saul, by the way, he's going to kill Jonathan before that. Why? Saul was full of iniquity. He was out of bounds. He was, oh, what'd you eat for this morning, man? Relax. No, you're full of iniquity. And iniquity makes you cold. And pretty soon, you hear this story and everybody says, he was such a nice man on the news, they say. And he probably was before iniquity filled him up. So I'd be careful of iniquity. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for the teaching of your word, Lord. I was amazed how many verses were about this. I pray we'd stay in bounds. I pray we wouldn't sin, and I pray we'd also not commit iniquity. And Lord, if any of us are getting close to being full of iniquity, Lord, please, I pray tonight that your spirit be merciful to us and speak to us before we get too cold. And help us not to be like that. Some of us got it passed down to us from a home of iniquity, and we act the same way out of bounds. Help us, Lord, to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, cleansed from all iniquity, and washed thoroughly from our sin and cleansed from all our iniquity. Lord, we need you to do this. Thank you for Jesus' blood. Thank you he bore our iniquity. Oh, Lord, it's so wonderful to have such a wonderful Savior who can forgive us for all these sins. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. May tonight all of us leave here free from iniquity. Please, Lord, help us to do what we ought to do. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Iniquity.